Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, from my best calculations, I've probably moved about a dozen times in my life. There are certain things, of course, for those of us who have moved, and I would venture to say that probably 99.9% of the people here have done that at one time or another, most of you fairly recently. So, you move. You have all this hassle, all this stress, all these different things going on, and you move to a new place that is somewhat odd, somewhat strange. And so you meet people. And people want to be able to help you acclimate. So they give you advice. Which grocery store to go to? Which dentist you might want to see? Who's a good mechanic? Where do you go for a really good meal? You get this sort of advice every time that you move. And it's helpful because you really don't know. And then you move to Arizona. And everybody gives you the same first advice. What do they tell you? Make sure you drink lots of water. Lots of water. Gotta hydrate. It's dry. The first 2 weeks, I spent 65% of my life in the bathroom. And I thought, well, wait a minute now. If I'm supposed to hydrate, I thought this was supposed to kind of like evaporate out of me through perspiration that I never see because it's so dry here, and yet I'm getting rid of it mostly through the natural way. But everybody, make sure you drink lots of water. Hydrate. You don't want to go anywhere. And we hear the stories of the people who don't hydrate. All those Ferners going out there, walking on the mountains, right, Phil? And they walk for about 3 miles, and they suddenly drop. And they go, "Ooh, I'm thirsty. We forgot to bring water." And so then they call 911 and they have to go. And, you know, and those poor firemen and guys that work for the, you know, rescue squads, they wear full turnout gear when it's 115 degrees marching through the desert to get the moron. And they do it on a regular basis. But water here is important. Actually, if you think about it, water is important everywhere. We're what, made up around 60% of water, each of us. And we need water to be able to sustain our lives. That's why we have, in part, plumbing, to bring the water to us, so we don't have to take the bucket to the water. And around here, you'd have to go a long, long way, I think, with a bucket to get the water. But water sustains us. Water helps us survive. Water makes things grow. Water cleanses things. Water does all kinds of simply amazing things. It's an integral and important part of our lives. We all know without water, we're going to be one of the foreigners up in the mountain waiting for help. And so we have to have it. I like water. I bring water here when I preach because it is drier here. And I didn't have to do this back in New Jersey, but I have to make sure I have water because I dry out a lot quicker. I like bathing on a regular basis, contrary to popular belief. And so it is refreshing to be able to get cleaned up and ready to go for the day. It's nice to use water to clean your fruits and vegetables and to do your dishes. Even if you stick it in the dishwasher, there's still water that magically swirls around in there. Or to get our cars cleaned. So you have that kind of nice, fresh, clean, undusty look on the inside and the out. But water intimidates me too. I have what one would describe as a healthy respect for water. Some might say I'm afraid of water. I had a couple of incidences where water tried to get together and take my life. Once when I was probably about 3 or 4 years old, and another time on a rafting trip, probably, I guess, 4 years ago. Both of those experiences left kind of an indelible print in my mind that water isn't necessarily my best friend. And I've had trouble with it. I took swimming lessons. I've taken more swimming lessons than anybody could ever take in their lives. 7 years of swimming lessons to learn how to swim. And after about the sixth year, it was inferred to me that the reason why I can't swim has nothing to do with my physical ability to make my arms and legs go at the same time. It has to do with the fact that I have no natural buoyancy. They would put me in that float on your back position. They would tell me exactly what to do. They would be holding me in the water. I would make my body do exactly what they wanted to do. They were pleased with that. I would not move. They would let go of me and right to the bottom every time. So I have this natural respect for water, especially the kind that's over my head. Today we celebrate the baptism of our Lord. It is about water and some other things. But water really is an integral part of our faith. If you think about our biblical witness, we have a myriad of different references to water, starting from the very beginning. In the book of Genesis, we talk about creation, and the first thing God talks about once we get past the void is the water. And we divide the water up to make sure it's not all water, and we have land then. We have Noah builds an ark because God's going to use the water to kind of clean everything up. We have Moses and the people of Israel crossing the Red Sea on dry land. Joshua enters the promised land over the Jordan. Elijah cures the Syrian general of leprosy by having him dip in water. And then Jesus loves playing in water. Jesus takes water, the big one, you know, the one we all want to have. He takes the water and he makes it into wine. He walks on the stuff. He uses it to cure people, to heal people. He does all kinds of different things with water. And then we have this story of John baptizing Jesus in the River Jordan. Now, do you want to think this is an important story? It is. Because how many Gospels does this story show up in? We have four Gospels, by the way, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Which ones do they show up in? All of them. There are very few things about Jesus' life that show up in all four stories, in all four Gospels. This story does. So it's there for a reason. But it's perplexing. How do we view baptism? This is a catechetical lesson now. Come on, how do we view baptism? What does baptism do for us? What's the first thing we say when we talk about baptism washing away what? Sin. Yeah, it washes away sin. It cleanses us. It makes us better. It makes us whole. It brings us into God. What sin did Jesus have that he needed to have washed away? You know, see, that becomes the little perplexing part for us in terms of trying to understand exactly why Jesus was baptized. But tied in with the baptism was the proclamation. And it was the proclamation that makes it clear about how baptism changed Jesus' life just as baptism changes our life. You've got to look at it this way. Jesus is walking to the Jordan. He's the son of the carpenter, a carpenter's apprentice, maybe a carpenter himself from Nazareth. He gets into the water. He comes out of the water. He's no longer Jesus the carpenter. He's Jesus the Messiah. the Son of God. Because the baptism of our Lord is that time that marks the beginning of Jesus' ministry in all four Gospels. This is when Jesus gets to work. This is when Jesus does those Jesus things in terms of proclaiming Himself as the Messiah, the Son of God, and changing the reality of the world. When we're baptized, we too are changed. Because at that moment, when those waters go down on our head, and those words are spoken, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, when we talk about baptism taking place within our lives too have been changed. Because at that very moment, we are adopted as sons and daughters of the living God. We become one with Christ, members of the body of Christ. And it is that moment that changes us. Now, there's all kinds of things that go on in terms of what baptisms are. There are some Christians that believe you can only be baptized one way to make it a valid baptism. You have to say, I want to be baptized because I believe this is going to change me. And you have to have a full amount of water. You have to be dunked completely, totally immersed. Otherwise, it don't count. We're not so much there. Because we're not about the amount of water. We're about the presence of the water. But more importantly, the presence of the Word, because it is the mixture of the water and the Word and that proclamation that I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that really makes the difference. And as with Brill Cream, a little dab will do you here. So it just takes a little bit of water to make it so. When I was growing up, I grew up under the tutelage of the Reverend Reinhold Weber. Nice Italian guy. When his family came over here when he was a child, he really wanted to prove himself out to be a true American because he was very proud of living in this country. And so when World War II broke out, he volunteered. And he served in the U.S. Army in the infantry. And he wasn't a chaplain. He toted a gun. But he served as a chaplain just through his faith. And he tells a story of one encounter he had with a young man who had been shot and was fatally wounded but not yet dead. And he wanted to be baptized. And there was no water around. His canteen was empty. And so what he simply did was brush the sweat off of his brow. And he used that to baptize the dying young man. Because it doesn't matter the type of water, whether it's clean or dirty, whether it comes from the Jordan or comes from somebody's tap. What it matters is the fact that it's that life-giving H2O that God has blessed us with, mixed with that Word that allows us to be changed forever. That brings us into the community of faith that makes us one in Christ. But you see, like Jesus, it is just the beginning. It would have been great for Jesus, I guess, when he comes out of Jordan, to have God proclaim to all of those there that, hey, this is my Son. I'm well pleased with Him. Pay attention to what He says. Do what He tells you to do. But then what happens if He tells you to do nothing? What happens if He chose to do nothing? What happens if He just got out of the water and said, well, gee, that was nice, and went back to making furniture? You see, the blessing is, of course, He didn't do that. And the blessing for us is the fact that we are called to be in that exact same place. Not simply living, you know, coming up out of our baptism and going on with life as normal without the understanding of what we have to do and what we have to give, but living out that baptism each and every day, finding ways and seeking ways to be able to serve God through the blessing He has given us through this life, death, and redemption we've found through the baptism of Christ. To be able to find those instances where we can serve, where we can give, where we can love, and when we can care. Because that's what we're called to do. As brothers and sisters in Christ, as children of God, we are called to live our lives in a manner that resembles that which Christ lived here. To live our lives out of love. To share in the manners in which we can to be able to improve the quality of life for the people we encounter. To live our lives in the love that God has blessed us with. Luther said, thought I'd throw him in because after all, we kind of carry his name. He makes the sign of the cross every morning, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Not because he's playing football or baseball and wants somebody to recognize that fact that they were blessing God for being able to get a base hit or score a touchdown, but rather to remember his baptism. That as he rises and as he goes to sleep, he says, I make the sign of the cross to be able to remember the blessings of the baptism I've been given. And so that is part of the reason why some of us do make the sign of the cross. To draw us back to that beginning. To draw us back to that point of remembering the blessings that have been placed within our lives and that event that took place some 2,000 years ago. Because the waters for which Christ were baptized in are the waters for which we're baptized in. And in that same manner, then we're called to go forth within our lives to do as Christ did. To do as God asks. Simply to be blessings. Blessings for those we know and blessings for those we've never met before. To be blessings in sharing that love and the compassion that God has placed within our hearts. When we live our lives in that manner, then we're living out our baptism. Living our lives out in a manner for which God has called us to do. Simply sharing that goodness, that love, and that compassion that is so enveloped within the baptism of our Lord. So when you leave this place, think about that moment. Not only the moment you were baptized, but the moment that Christ was baptized, not for himself, but for us. Because it was that moment that truly changed our lives. Amen.